Okay, it's wonderful to be here on a rainy day. It's. I hope it's. Yes, exactly. It's a little bit too warm for the British summer today, but still the rain makes me feel a little bit more at home. Hopefully it's a harbinger of much more rain through the winter as well. But today we are focusing on MS and Sheker. Again, as I mentioned to you, I would have ideally placed this shiur on the week in Parshas Toldos when Yaakov says that those immortal words, Anochi Esav B'chorecha, but I'm not going to be here, Parshas Toldos, I'm going to be in America. So I'm bringing this forward to this shiur. And also, we'll see that there is actually a very important theme as well for Parshas Bereishis. The whole of creation is predicated on there being such a thing as MS. I know in the world that we live in today, MS is not a clear thing at all. We'll see that built into the sources. You only need to turn on the BBC to get a feel for how MS is relative on every level. But from the very beginning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam HaRishon in this week's Parsha, Ayeka, where are you? Then the assumption is that what he wants from Adam HaRishon is an honest appraisal. Where is he? What is he doing? Where is he now? That he's made the choices that he's made. Similarly, you know, when the Jewish people offer the Torah at the Har Sinai, and they say, Na'aseh v'nishma, beautiful. Why can't they turn around a year later and say, oh, we were just kidding. We're not really. We just told the lie, Na'aseh v'nishma. Built into the Kabbalah HaTorah, to the creation of the world, is an assumption that if you say something, there is something called Emes, and there is something called Sheker. And in fact, we see sources. If you look at number one, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omed, Al Hadin, Al Ha'emes, Val Hashalom. And we'll see how Emes and Shalom have something of a dialectic between them, between Emes and Shalom. We'll see how that sometimes even can be a paradox. We'll see how that is resolved. Shenema Emes u'Mishpat Shalom Shaftu B'Sharech. And similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is represented by Shalom. Number two, thank you so much, Ricky. Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, Chais Moshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Emes is the chotem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheker is the opposite. I remember my uncle at our Sheva Brochus, he talks about Emes and Sheker, and he said that Emes is standing on broad-based letters, Aleph and Mem and Taf, and Sheker is standing on a pin on the Shin and on the Kuf and on the Resh, because Emes is the building of the world and Sheker is an unstable structure, and we'll see how Emes and Sheker fit together. Now, I really want to make three basic points. One is a foundational question on what is the definition of MS. The second is how MS interacts with Shalom. And the third is how MS is dealt with when you have to deal with people who are not being honest with you, which is a very common life occurrence. And how MS deals with that. So let's deal with the first point first. What is MS? First of all, where do we see it in the Pesukim? So the obvious choice is number three, and actually we'll find that is not the answer. Number three says, Lo tignovu. We looked at this last week when we saw, or 3 weeks ago when we saw Gnevas Daat. Lo tignovu, lo techachashu, ve lo teshakru, ish ba'amito. You couldn't ask for a better source. Lo teshakru. Do not tell a lie. However, that turns out not to be the source. That source, lo teshakru, is dealing with court proceedings. It's very specific in dealing with the way that you stand up in court and give evidence. That is actually not the pasuk that deals with lying on a day-to-day basis and telling the truth. That pasuk comes in number four, and it's not worded the same way. Look at number four. Loi tateh mishpas evyoncha beribo. Do not twist the judgments of a poor person when he has a dispute, and then zayin midvar sheker tirchak. Now, midvar sheker tirchak, what does that mean? Stay far away from something which is a lie. Midvar sheker, from something which is a lie, tirchak. Now, it doesn't say, thou shalt not lie. It doesn't say, lot sheker. Lot sheker, we saw number three, is not talking about general lie. So, if you phrase it in a way as, midvar sheker tirchak, is that broader than the prohibition on do not lie, or is that narrower than the prohibition do not lie? Which is it? Does that include more or does that include less? So on the one hand, you could see it says more, because not only are you not allowed to lie, but from anything that even smells of a lie, midvar sheket tirchak, you have to have harchakot, you have to be far away. On the other hand, it didn't say don't lie. It could have said don't lie, and it didn't say don't lie. So on the one hand, it seems broader, but on the other hand, it didn't actually say it in a straight way. This pasuk, that midvar sheket tirchak, how do we know that it's not talking also about court proceedings? And it may well be from the pshat. If you go on to the pasuk, it says v'naki v'tzadik al tarog, don't execute those who are innocent. Kilo astik rasha, etc. Sounds like it's still talking about a court. So how do I know? We'll see in a minute that this applies even to my everyday life. Indeed, when the Sefer Achinuch picks up this mitzvah and quotes this pasuk, he's talking about court proceedings. Shelo Yishma, number 5. Hadayan ta'anat echad shelo bifnei ba'al dina. You're not allowed to hear one side before the other. Va'od amrusham, shehi atar gam the ba'al din shelo yit on gam hu ta'anotav. One side is not allowed to give over his position, ladayan, to the judge. Shelo bifnei ba'al dina, in front of the other, when it's not in front of the other one, because he has to have an opportunity to answer. Va'al zeh nemar, nidvar sheker tircha. Because if one side gives their opinion in court, it's unfair, it's unbalanced. And therefore, it sounds still a little bit like a courtroom drama. And indeed, in number 6, in the Gemara in Shavuos, there are no less than 13 different limudim, which are learned from Midvar Sheket Tirchak, of which I want to bring you a couple of them here. And again, they sound a little bit like court. Number 6, Tan Rabbanan, Minayin L'dayan Shelo Yaseh Sanigor L'dvarav. How do we know that the judge is not allowed to try and convince himself of the arguments? Talmud Loma, as the Torah says, midvar sheket tirchak. Okay, to judge. Uminayin ledayin shelo yesh talmid bor lefanav. How do you know that the judge is not allowed to have a nudnik in front of him in court, asking silly questions? Talmud Loma, midvar sheket tirchak. And he goes through all sorts of examples like that, where it says the judge has to put himself in an impartial position so as not to be affected in either direction in a way, which is sheket. But the one I want to pick up most is just 4 or 5 lines from the bottom of number 6. Minayin leTalmid. How do you know that there's a case where there's a Talmid she'amaloi raboi and the Rav said to him as follows? Now listen to this case carefully. Yodea atabi. You trust me, says the Rabbi. She'im noitnin li mea mana. If somebody lent me a sum of money, let's say $1,000. Okay, somebody lent me $1,000, or I lent someone, in this case, $1,000. Eini mabada, I wouldn't lie. So the Rav says to the Talmid, do you trust me for $1,000? Do you trust me? And the Talmid says, of course I trust you, Rav. You're the rabbi. You wouldn't lie about $1,000. Yeshli, says the Rav to the Talmid, Yeshli etzel ploini, mana yeshli etzel ploini, I have this debt, this person owes me, let's say $1,000. Ve'eini alav ela eid echad. And I only have one witness. The guy's not paying me back. I only have one witness. I can't get my money back. Says the Gemara here, Minayin, how do we know, Shaloyit Tareif Imar, that the Talmud cannot join with them? Now, that sounds at the moment that the Rav is asking the Talmud to come and pretend to be the second witness. Talmud Lama, the Torah says, Midvar Sheket Tirchak. You can't tell lies. But the Gemara is not happy with that. Hai midvar sheket tirchak nafka. Are you telling me we learn the prohibition of lying in courts, pretending to be a witness, from do not tell lies? Where does it say in the Torah, do not bear false witness in a courtroom? It's not midvar sheket tirchak, where is it? Aseret HaDibros. Habadai shekuri hakmashakim. That is complete and utter lie to go stand up in court. But Rahmana Amon, the Torah says, lo yisam ibarecha, it's shakim. You're not allowed to lie in court. So the Gemara clarifies and says, no, actually, the case of the Rav and the Talmud is a little even more subtle. He's not asking him to stand up in court and lie. What's he asking him to do? Ela kegoyim de amalei, it's a case where he said to him, Vadai chad sa'ade isli. I have one witness. No question, I have one witness. Ta'ata, I want you to go. Kum, get up. Hasan, come to court with me. The light came of a loy midi. Don't say a word. Just walk into court with me. What does he want to do? He wants to stride into the courtroom with his one real witness at the side, his Talmud on the other side. The guy is going to look at them and think, oi, he's found another witness. He's going to obviously give in. He's not going to stand up in court and look like a fool. And we are going to convince him to give me the $1,000. And God forbid, I don't want you to even say one little lie. Just walk into court making it seem that you're a second witness. Okay? You won't even say anything. Says the Gemara, even that is asur mishum midvar sheker tircha, which is fascinating. Because when you're going to get into the whole question of little white lies, you know, if I didn't say, like the case I left you with at the end of last week, where the guy gives his wife the false jewelry, the fake jewelry, and she opens it, she goes, oh, how much did you pay for this? And he says to her, sweetheart, you really don't want to know. So he'll say, well, you know, I didn't say a lie. What did I say? I didn't say a lie. I told her the truth. She doesn't want to know because it's only worth $25. And she didn't. No, come on. He's not even allowed to walk into court giving the impression that he's someone that he's not. Certainly, he's not allowed to say something that gives that false impression. That's sheker. That's pure sheker. And I think one understands this. You know, people don't expect you to be using lawyer-like, weaselly words. You know, for example, let's say, you know, I have my seminary students, their mothers ring them on their cell phones, drive them nuts, drive them crazy 5 times a day. It was much easier when I was in yeshiva 25 years ago. I had to go, if I wanted to speak to my parents in England, I had to go walk down to Shlomtzi on a Malka to the telephone exchange because the asimonim, you couldn't make international call. So I had to book 3 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it was, and after 2 minutes I'd say to my mother, Mother, I'm still alive, I'm still here, I'll teach you next week. The woman came on the phone, Zeo, Nikmar. And that's it. So I think that was actually good in many ways because nobody was driving me mad 3 times a day as this. Are you all right? Are you eating? Can you imagine? So now I have a mobile phone and my mother rings me all the time. So that's good. Baruch Hashem. Very nice. So I do. Now we can Skype. Yeah, the whole thing. Now you can't. You have no even 5 minutes of peace and quiet. So the girl sitting in seminary, the mother rings her again. Third time that day. So her friend picks it up and she goes, it's your mother. Okay. So what should she say? So she goes, tell her I'm not in. But she's very clever, this same girl, very Talmudic. So she doesn't want to lie. So she runs outside the window. She stands outside and goes, now tell her I'm not in. Because I'm not in. I'm out. What they teach them is amazing. So in what way is that helpful? You know, if the mother hears she's not in, she doesn't understand. Well, you know, in Hilchas Eruvin she's in a sorry. I'm not in means I'm not in. It doesn't matter according to this Gemara what you say. Even if you don't say anything, if you give a false impression, that is shek. Now, this of course is going to highlight even more what's with Yaakov Avinu and Yitzchak. And in fact, if you think about this, Rashi makes it even worse. Because how do they teach the Rashi? The kids, they go to Cheder, and the Rashi says, Yaakov says to Yitzchak, he says, Mi ata b'ni, who are you, my child? And Yitzchak, and Yaakov answers, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, I am Esav, your firstborn. And if you read the Rashi there, it's a very famous Rashi, we'll see it later. Rashi says, it's like a gap, Anochi, it's me, and Esav b'chorecha, Esav is your firstborn. Now, come on. How does that help? Because it's not, you're not, even if you said nothing but gave the wrong impression, it's sheker. Did he not give the wrong impression? Can you imagine that your kid, you have, you know, little kids, and all the cookies go missing from the cookie tin. And you will confront your six-year-old Yankel, and he say, did you steal the cookies? He said, it was my sister. Yeah? And you go and confront her, and says, now he's lying. And he says, no, when I said it was my sister, what I meant is I stole the cookies, but it was my sister that was standing outside watching me when I stole them. I had the kavana, like, who told you to speak in that, like, twisted way? Oh, the Mefarshim, Rashi on Chumash, like, that's not what Rashi means. We'll see soon what Rashi actually means. But saying it in that way doesn't help. Midvar sheker tirchak in this way, like you said before, is broader. Even the appearance of sheker is wrong. How do I know it's not just a courtroom? So look at number 7. Tana Rabbanon, Ketzad Maraktim Lifnei Akala. We'll analyze this source, please God, in a few moments even more. How do you dance in front of the bride? Now this is not a choreography question. They obviously used to dance around the bride and sing to the bride. What do you sing to the bride? So we'll analyze this more, please God, in a few minutes. But Beis Shammai Omrim Kala Kamoshi, you have to sing something true. We'll see what that means. And Beis Hillel Omrim Kala Nava Chasuda, you have to say she's a beautiful bride, even if she's not. Okay, Beis Hillel insists on that. Amru lahen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai sends to Beis Hillel and say, one second. Harishi Haite Chigeret or Suma. What if she is a hunchback? Something obviously very not beautiful. Are you still going to say she's beautiful? Omrim la kala nava chasuda. Are you going to say to her she's a beautiful bride? V'hatora amra. Doesn't the Torah say midvashek adirchak? Now, from the conversation between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you can see that this posuk is not just in a courtroom. Why? Because you're at a hafna. You're not in a courtroom. Even though everything we've seen so far indicates, well, maybe this is also with a judge in court. It's clear from Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai that's not true. This applies in everyday life. There is a concept of emes and sheker from midvar sheker tirchak, and as I've said, midvar sheker tirchak is even broader than telling a lie, even if you give the wrong impression. By the way, of course, that goes the other way too. What if you say something which is completely false, but you give the correct impression? The way that we sometimes speak is, we sometimes say, especially if you're English and you speak in sarcasm half the time, you say things which are not true, but everybody knows what you mean. And no one thinks that that's really the case. If I say to you, if you say to me, for example, oh, excuse me, do you have a pen for a moment? Like, what are you really asking? You're not doing a research project for Reader's Digest. Oh, who has a pen? Do you have a pen? Does she have a pen? You're not interested who has a pen. What are you really asking? Can I borrow your pen? That's just the way we say in English, can I borrow your pen? Do you have a pen? So I don't need to answer, well, I do have a pen, but I'm not going to lend it to you because it's my favourite pen, and last time I lent it to somebody, they broke. I don't need to get into that. They're asking to borrow a pen. I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to lend you a pen. I don't have a chiyuv to lend people my pen. It might be a maaseh chesed, it's a nice thing, but if it's a special pen and it gets broken, I don't have to lend it. I don't have to get into a whole discussion about this. He's asking, can I borrow your pen? And I'm answering, no, you can't. Everybody knows what everybody means. Have a look at the example in the source number 8. The Gemara says, Nidrei Havai. The Mishnah actually, there's such a thing as Nadarim, which are exaggerated. People exaggerate. I know what you mean. Amar, for example, the person says, Kainam, which is a Lashon of Nadarim. I make an oath. Im loy ra'isi b'derech hazeh ka'oile Mitzrayim. I make an oath that this, whatever it is, this chocolate is forbidden to me if I saw on the people in the road the same number as came out of Mitzrayim. I make an oath there were 600. What does that mean, the same number as came out of Mitzrayim? Does that mean there were 603,550 people there? And if we counted that there were only 601,000 there, you're telling a lie. No. Everyone understands. It means that there were lots of people there. Ka'ole Mitzrayim. Look at the ram. Dekush dekama. He's telling the truth. Kaven Shira and Rav, since he saw a large number of people, da'avid inish, de'gazid b'chiyah gavna, people exaggerate that way. That's not called lying. That's called a correct oath, even if there weren't the same number of people as came out of Egypt. That doesn't matter, because it's not what he really means. And you understand that. Meaning, the first point about sheker is, it's not what you say that matters. It's the impression that you give. So, giving the paste jewelry and saying, darling, you really don't want to know, is clear sheker. Whereas, if I say something which is, you know, I come out of the house, my wife says, did you lock the house? I go, no. Because that's how we speak, you know? Of course it means yes. But of course I said no. And she knows that I mean yes when I say no. Why don't I say yes? Good question. But, like, if I really hadn't locked the house, I'd have said, oh, and run back to lock the house. Okay, so am I a liar? No, we all know what's going on. If you send out a wedding invitation in Israel and you intend the chuppah to be at 6 p.m. okay, what time did you write on the 4:30? Like, if you intend it to be at 6 and you write at 6, that's sheker. Like, no one's going to be there. I'm the one that's going to be there because I'm the one that says to my wife, well, you never know, this one may start on time. And every time I go there, it's like the guy's wheeling in tables, you know, to start setting up. Like that. There's nobody there. And Sarah says to me, I don't understand you. You go an hour and a half. So, you know what's the correct Everyone says six, but they mean, is that the way to speak? Okay, good question. Is it a little bit irritating? Maybe. But if everybody knows what you mean, then that's okay. It gets a little bit more tricky when you get into issues like shiduchim. And, you know, what does that mean? What does it mean that somebody's 29? You know? People are 29 for a long time. And that's more tricky. Because again, one has obviously to be honest during Shidduchim, but at the end of the day, there are certain things people understand. I'm not getting into that now. But the first basic principle of Emes and Sheker is it's not what you say that matters, it's what you communicate that matters. And that's because it doesn't say do not lie, it says Mitzvah Sheker Tilchak. That is the first point. And we haven't answered the issue with Yaakov. We'll get to that, please God, soon. Point number two. How does Emes interact with Sholem? So, if you look here in the source number 9, you see there's a famous passage in Zechariah there, Ha'emes v'ha'sholem e'havun. You have to somehow be able to love Emes and Sholem together. And now we'll look at Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai more carefully. Tan Rabbanon, Ketzad Meragdim Bnei Kala, Beit Shammai Omrim Kala Kamo Shehi. You have to say it how it is. Now, what does that mean? Beit Shammai are particularly makpid, they're very careful not to say anything, even if it sounds like a lie. Rashi says number 11. I'll go back to number 10 in a minute. But just looking at Beit Shammai, lefi yofya v'chashivuta mekaltim ota. You can find something nice to say. Talk about her yichas. Talk about her fingernails. Talk about something nice. Everybody has something nice to talk about, says Rashi. Tosva says im yesh ba mum, if there's something wrong with her, Yishavku, then keep quiet, follow Yishavku, then don't praise it. Inami alternatively. Like Rashi said, Yishavku, but Davanai, say something nice. The Sheyeshba, that she can, you can say, Kagoin Be'ineha, she has lovely eyes, Yadeha, she has lovely hands, Imein Yafod, if they're lovely. Ubeis Hillel, we'll see in a minute, says Tosfos Omrim, they say, you can't pick out one thing. He says, Yishabchu legamri, you have to praise her completely, because he says, Kirin ma, sheyeshba, because if you start talking about her lovely personality, okay, l'shvach michlal d'shar l'finai, it implies the rest is not good. If the chosn comes up to you and says, don't you think my bride is the most beautiful woman you ever saw? And you say, well, she has a lovely personality. Like, that's, you know? Says, so Beit Hillel will come back, go back to number 10 and say, no, Amru lahen, Beit Hillel Omrim, first line, Kalanava Chasuda, you have to say she's a beautiful bride. I went to a wedding once where the Rav stood up at the chuppah and said, recently I went to the wedding, she said, the bride is the Kalanava Chasuda, Afilu Lebeit Shammai. So, in case you should think that we're going like Beit Hillel, and really you don't know what he means, so that even the Beit Shammai, she's a Kalanava Chasuda. Amru lahen Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, so Beit Shammai say to Beit Hillel, Hari she hai she chigeret or suma, as we saw, she's a hunchback, God forbid. Omrim lah, do you say to her, Karen Nebuchasuda, Vatara amin mitzvah sheker tirchak, so Amru lahen Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So look at this now. Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, excuse me. Beit Hillel responds to Beit Shammai, Ledivreichem, according to you, Misha lakach mekach ram min hashuk. Let's give an analogy. Obviously at a wedding, nobody's buying anybody else, but let's say you went shopping, somebody picked up a dress at a shop, and they brought it home, they can't take it back, and that's it, it's done, finished. And they try it on, and they say to you, how does it look? Yishabchena be'enav or yudnena be'enav? What are you going to say to the Beit Hillel? Are you going to praise it, or are you going to criticize it? What good does it do to criticize it? They're not really asking your opinion. That's the point. They're saying, how does it look, but they don't mean that. I know, I've not been married very long. I've been married for 24 years, and I'm still learning. I've got an L plate, like a lamed, on my head. But sometimes, it seems to me, when we're walking out of the door, my wife says, how does this look? Sometimes she means, I'm wearing it anyway, and you better tell me it looks nice, otherwise we're going to have an argument all night, and in which case it looks lovely. And sometimes she's saying to me, look, I'm going to a meeting, I have to look right. Does this look right, or does this look wrong? And I want your opinion, and if it looks wrong, I'll run up and change. You have to be able to spot the difference between them. I don't always do that very well, but I'm still working on it. Sometimes, says Beit Hillel, they're not really asking for an honest answer. Have you ownership chenabi? And surely you have to say something nice about it. This is a nice word. The people should be mu'revit. Also it means mixed in, as in Arab, but also it means pleasant, as in Arab. there has to be a certain, you have to oil the wheels of social niceties, even if that means sometimes that there is not quite the same level of absolute emes, says Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai are not happy with that. If you look in the Ritzvah, in number 13, the Ritzvah explains exactly what's going on here in Beis Hillel. Perush, what does it mean? Dekol shehu mipnei darchei shalom, whenever there is an issue of darchei shalom, ein bo mishum mitvah sheket tircha. He couldn't say more clearly. There is no mitzvah of mitvah sheket tircha. The Ritzvah's position on this is, when it comes to shalom, mitvah sheket tircha goes out of the window. Now, how far does that go? What is shalom? You know, if I have a teenager and they have a curfew, they have to be in by, you know, 11 p.m. and the next morning they crawl out of bed and they really got in at 4 a.m. and I say to them, well, what time did you come in last night? So what are they going to say? Well, mutzal shanis mipnei shalom, it's darchei shalom. I don't want to cause arguments in the house. I want a nice house, a peace. And so I'm going to say 11 o'clock. You say, I'm allowed to lie. You're not allowed to do that. Why? We'll see in a minute why you're not allowed to do that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to darchei shalom, defined as we'll define it, it is allowed, not only will see allowed, but also required to change the emes. Look in the source in number 14. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Berub Shimon. Mutzal loyla adam l'shanois, you're allowed to change the truth, b'davar shalom, for the purpose of shalom. And Marley brings the example of Yosef and his brothers. Remember when Yaakov dies, the brothers are worried that Yosef is going to take revenge against them, so they make up the whole story that the father told them before he died not to get back at Yosef. Avicha tziva koi tamru li Yosef, ana sana, please forgive the brothers. As far as we're aware, Yaakov never knew that the brothers sold Yosef, although that's a machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban, if you look at the Pesukim, as to how that works. But the brothers were allowed to make up this story because of Shalom. Again, they're not trying to convince Yosef that they didn't sell him. He knows that they did sell him, but they're trying to avoid the family breaking into a big machlokas. Reb Nosson Oimer says, not only mutter, mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to lie for Shalom, Shneimar, but Yomer Shmuel. Shmuel says to Hashem, he's told him to anoint David HaMelech. Eilech, how can I go and anoint David HaMelech? There's already a king, Shaul HaMelech. When there is already a king, they don't take it very well when you anoint somebody else's king. It's going to be the end. Ushama Shaul, Bargain. He's going to hear, he's going to kill me. It's treason. So what does God say to him? Do you remember what God says to Shmuel? He says, oh, you have to make up a whole story. You're going to Bethlehem for a family simcha, and that's why you're going to Bethlehem. Ah, but that's not true. Hashem gives him a tzivui and says to him, you have to lie for this purpose. Again, not to protect Shmuel because he's a bad guy, but to prevent the outbreak of something which would be the opposite of Shalom. And similarly, Dibei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Godel HaShalom, Shalom is so great, She'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes very famous cases for Shalom. Bimikara Ksiv, Va'adoni Zaken, remember Sarah, where she laughs, and she says, oh, this is ridiculous, I'm old, I can't have a baby, and my husband's 100 years old, like, I can't have a baby with him in any event. And when he says it to Avram, or to Basaf, and in the end he says that Aniza can't. He only gives the bit of the statement where Sarah says that she's old. Which, by the way, you can learn a few interesting things. First of all HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is miss out the last bit. Clearly that's also Sheker, being what they used to call in England, economical with the truth. Okay? That's also Sheker, you need a Heser for Shalom to do that. And also you would have thought, well, I mean, is that really going to cause such a big family problem that Avram thinks that Sarah thinks that he's old? I mean, what does he think she thinks? He's 100. He thinks that she thinks that he's not old. Nevertheless, you can never tell when it comes to husbands and wives. Shalom is a very important thing. And we'll see when we come to Hachnas Orchim. One of the jobs of the oreach in the house of the guest is to do whatever he can to bring shalom in the house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is not taking any risks, and he's not going to tell Sarah Avram that Sarah thinks that he's old. Fine. And therefore, you see, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this. So not only is it allowed, but it is a mitzvah itself. And we see the halacha says Bava Metzia. This is brought down in halacha number 15. B'hanitzlas mili avdi rabbanon de mashani b'milayhu. in three areas in particular, in these, not the only three, but these three that a person has to be prepared to not tell the truth if he's a Talmid Chacham or Masechet, meaning he can be for humility, he can say he knows less than he really knows. Obviously, he can't say he knows more than he really knows. That's Gnevas Das. We saw that last time. But Puria, which people say there's different chapters, and some people say it's Pru Revu, issues of Tzniut, which we'll see soon how that comes in as well. Maybe it means on Purim that a Talmid Chacham, a real Talmid Chacham, should not be getting drunk. He should be pretending to get drunk, which is interesting because not everybody does that. Over Shmita, which is a whole other thing, which I'm not getting into now. Not getting other people into trouble because you're praising their hospitalities. excuse me. And therefore, in Halacha, we paskin that you're allowed to lie, quotes and quotes, for Shalom, looking number 16. Or Shehevi Shalom Bein Adam Lechaveiro. The Rambam says if you have an ability to bring Shalom between people, the Hoysif Vagara, and you add things which are not true, or you take things away which are not true, Kedei Lechavavam Zeh Lazeh, to bring chiba, to bring shalom and love between people, hare ze mutar. It is mutar. Even the Chofetz Chaim, who is the most makpid you could imagine on personal integrity and telling the truth, etc., says very clearly, number 17, Chofetz Chaim in Hilchos Rechilas, le'en yimala hashiv im shalom ma diber ploini odati. If somebody asks you directly, what did they say about me? Okay, and you don't want to answer. Talui b'zeh, says it depends. Im yesh lo eitzel ha-shiva ba'oipen shelo yeh b'shefer goma, if you can find a way not to lie completely. V'gam lo yeh rechilas, and also not spare rechilas about other people. Yeshivena ba'oipen zeh, so you should answer this way. V'lo yotzeh shekem mipiv, and don't lie. But, v'im hu meivin, but if you understand shechaveru lo yikabel zeh, that your friend won't accept this, the truth has an answer. Muta loyma sheker gomor. Mipnei Hashalom. Mutter loyma sheker gomor mipnei Hashalom. Now, under what circumstances? So the key here is that you're not getting anything out of it. Meaning, if all these cases, a person is lying to bring other people together, but they're not getting any personal gain out of it. In the case of the classic case of Aaron, which I brought down in number 18, where it says, Havim Itami Dishal Aaron, Oy Shalom, Oy Shalom, and the Yibatanur brings down there, you know, the famous Midrash that Aaron would go to this side that were having a break and say they really want to get back with you, and then he'd run to this side and says they really want to get back with you. What's he getting out of this? Nothing. Personally, nothing at all. When the Chasim comes up to me and says, don't you think my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world? So, if I say yes, I'm not going to get a job offer out of it. It's just to bring shalom between them. But if I'm a teenager and I crept in at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can't claim shalom as a heter to tell lies. In order to what? In order to get myself out of a scrape. That's not how it works. You can't lie to help yourself. Look at number 19, and then we'll finish this point on this particular note and go to the next one. This, the Shari Tshuva, when he's talking about emes and sheker, he says, some people like lying, excuse me, I've still got a cough from Rosh Hashanah. Some people like lying just for the sake of it. There are people like this. They make up whole stories about their lives. You know, I went to Cambridge University, got a double first, and I got a doctorate in this, and it's all complete nonsense. They just live this kind of Walter Mitty. I think it's like, you know, this life. Says the Shari Tshuva, you just make things up. You're not getting anything out of it. No one's being heard by it. But this is what you do. Because you love lying. This is a terrible thing to do. You can't lie and just live a life of lies, even if no one's losing out. It's a serious avera. But this kind of lying, says the Shari Tshuva, hetiruhu lekai mitzvahs v'drishas toiva shalom. The kind of lying where you're not getting anything out of it and you're helping other people, if your kavana is for shalom, That's what Chazal allowed. You can't walk around lying just for the sake of it, for sure not. But if you're doing it for other people, and you're not actually getting any personal benefit, then that is allowed. And that is the second point that I wanted to make in terms of bringing shalom to people. That is a form of emes. The third point I want to make is the following, which is the most difficult of all of them. How do I deal with people who are lying to me, cheating me? I once played a bit of a mind game with my daughter when she was small. She came home from school, they told her that you're not allowed to lie, and they'd had a whole thing about lying, and lying is very bad. You can't lie to your mummy, you can't lie to your daddy, and all that kind of stuff. Because I read a psychology thing once that when babies are born, they assume that their parents can read inside their heads. Like, why not? The parents can do everything else. So they assume the parents can see what they're thinking. But then there comes the realization that actually what's inside my head is private to me, and that's an enormous power that I can now mislead other people. The child realizes. So you have to tell them not to lie. So they told my kid they can't lie. So I said to Yael, look Yael, let me ask you a following question. What if there was a bad man chasing a good man, trying to steal all his money? And the good man knocks on your door and said, will you hide my money to stop the bad man from stealing it? I said, would you help the good man? She goes, of course, she's 5 years old. I said, of course I'd help the good man. I said, now the bad man comes and bangs on the door and says, I'm a bad man, and I'm trying to steal the good man's money. Are you hiding any money for the good man? What would you tell him? She says, oh, I tell him no, no, no. Intuitively, she knew I'd tell him no. And I said to her, well, isn't that lying? And she said, like, oh. And she's got all kind of, my wife at this point said to me, stop, you're messing up her head. She's going to be confused. If it's all your fault, if she comes out strange because you know, you can't be telling her this at 5 years old. I was interested because she intuitively realized that even though telling the truth is a virtue, you can't tell the truth to people who are trying to steal from you. Obviously, somebody breaks into your home and asks you where you hide your valuables, you have no halakhic imperatives. Well, how can I tell a lie? It's not like, you know, George Washington, whatever, he lived through the cherry tree, and the whole story there. So we'll see. This is obvious, but it's not obvious, and we have to learn the parameters. What happens if I just rationalize? Well, you know, I don't want to lose out, so I'm going to lie in order to protect my... People can rationalize this to enormous lengths. Let's see how it works. So let's look at Yaakov and Esav. Go to page number 3, please, and let's have a look at this last point together. Vayavo el Aviv, he came to his father, Vayomer Avi, he said, Father, this is Yaakov, came to Yitzchak, Vayomer Hineni, Mi Ata Beni. Who are you? Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv, Anochi Esav Bechorech. I am Esav, your firstborn, Asiti Kasher, Dibarta Elai, I've done what you asked me, Kumna, Shva, Va'achla, please get up, sit down, and eat, mitzedi, from my produce, from what I've hunted, Ba'avot, Barachani, Na, Shecha. So that you'll give me a blah, brocha. Now, Anochi Esav Bechorecha is not true. You could say he bought the Bechorah. There are different ways of dealing with this issue, the Parsha Not. He actually was the Bechorah, but at the end of the day, he gave the impression that he was Esav, and he wasn't Esav. 21, the famous Rashi, Anochi, I am the one that's giving you, comma, the Esav hu b'chorecha. And the Maharal says this is why he uses the word Anochi, because if he said the word Ani, then it wouldn't have been able to be punctuated in a way to give the pause. The Anochi gives the pause, etc. But that doesn't really answer the question. How can he mislead Yitzchak in that way? And we'll see soon that that's not what Rashi really means. There are a number of cases of people dealing with cheats and liars. Look in the case of number 22. Hahu Aramah. There was this Aramean. Now, this could mean a non-Jew. It could mean also Ramai. The word Ramai means a trickster or a fraud. To have a salig va'achal psachim Yerushalayim. And his thing every year is he went to eat the Korban Pesach. Now, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach unless you're Jewish and you have a bris milah, etc. But that was his thing. He got dressed up every year as a chosid, whatever, and he went to Yerushalayim and he ate the Korban Pesach. That was the thing he did. Amar, so he said one day, Ksiv, isn't it written, Kol ben Nechal or Yochel boy, he's boasting back in Babel. It says, no one who is a non-Jew can eat it, but Kol Orel or Yochel boy, no one who is uncircumcised can eat it. The Amar and I, who are both, Hakachlin and Meshufri Shufri, I eat from the best of the best. And how are you going to stop me? Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says to him, this is interesting. Did you ever eat from the aliyah? The aliyah is the fat
on under the tail of the animal. Very tasty. Now, the aliyah is offered on the, as a korban. You don't get the aliyah. The aliyah goes up in smoke. Amalek, he said to him, Loi, I never got that. So he says, listen, Kisalak lahasan, when you go to them next year, because you like going up to Yerushalayim pretending to be Jewish, Emalu, why don't you tell them, Safulin aliyah, why don't you, I'd like the aliyah this year. So what did happen? Kisalik, he went to Yerushalayim. Amalu, he said to them, Me'aliyah safuli, this year I'd like the aliyah, please. Amrule, they said to him, Aliyah l'gvoya sata. The aliyah goes up on the korban. Amrule, they said to him, Man amalecha hachi, who told you to ask for this bit of the meat? Amalek, he said to them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, my rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Amru, they thought to themselves, my high the command, what do we have in front of us here? Bat Kuvasre, they checked him out. Vashkechuhu da'aramov, they found he was a liar. Okay? Vakatlu, and they killed him. Whether they were right to kill him or wrong to kill him, I'm not getting it, but he died. Shalchu leisa, they sent to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Da'ad ben Netzivim, you are all the way in the north in Netzivim, Umasudatcha perusav Yerushalayim, but your nets extend even to Yerushalayim. Meaning, Yasher Koyach, you found a way to get this guy out in the open, and we found him out. So, how is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira allowed to do this to somebody? He tells him an outright lie, he misleads him, he says, ask for the aliyah, he gets him killed. Is that the way to behave? Other examples. Number 23. The Gemara asks, what happens if there are highwaymen in the street that stop you and they want to steal from you? Tax collectors. Back in the day, tax collectors were, it wasn't like the IRS or Her Majesty's Inland Revenue or whatever. These people were basically robbers. I mean, you may still feel that the Inland Revenue are robbers, but that's because you feel that way. The Ramah, even just in parentheses in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes that Dina de Malchus Adina, paying your tax bill, is such a strong halachic imperative, says that even if the government of the land has a prohibitive, discriminatory tax for Jews only, and taxes, let's say 20% for non-Jews and 40% for Jews, you still have a chiyuv to pay it, interestingly. But back in the day, the tax people were just basically robbers, and they'd stop you. So they stop you and they ask, what have you got in your bag? So it says the Gemara number 23, Noidrim, you can make a neder, laharigin to people who want to kill you, or lacharamim, or to take your things away, or lamoichsim, to tax collectors, robber tax collectors, shehi truma. You can make an oath that it's truma. Afal pisha ain't truma, even though it's not truma. You can lie. Shehen shel beis hamelech, or you can say this belongs to the king, afal pisha ain't shel beis hamelech, even though it doesn't belong to the king. So, says in number 24, Hechanada, what kind of oath do you make? Amarav, the Omer, you say to them as following. In other words, they won't let you pass unless you make a neder. Because these people know that Jews take their nedarim very seriously, and they're not going to lie, so they're not about a neder, okay? And therefore they make them take a neder. So what kind of neder do you take? Yomru, you have to say, sorry, Yasru, Peiros, Ha'olam, Allah, you have to make the following neder. That I'll never eat fruit again, im einon shel beis hamelech. And Peiros doesn't mean fruit, it means produce. I'll never eat again unless this is really from the king. Meaning they say, swear it. They say, I make an oath, I'll never eat again if this is not from the king. Kevin da Amar, says the Gemara now says, you've got a problem. Kevin da Amar Yasru, now that you said, I'm not going to eat, Itzru alea kol Peiros alma. Now you're never allowed to eat again. So what are you going to do? That's not so clever. So it says, the Gemara now, but Omer, it's if the guy said, Hayom, today, that I'll never eat from anything else in the world today if this isn't the king's produce. So the Gemara says, well, that's ridiculous. Ida Amar Hayom, if you say today, Loi Makavul Minei Moichas, the guy won't accept it because obviously it's not a real oath. You're making an oath that you won't eat for the rest of the day? That's not acceptable. So it says the Gemara, but Omer Belidboy, if you say in your mind, Hayom, Umosi Besfasav Stam, what you say to them is, I'm never going to eat again. And in your mind you think, today, okay. But and what they hear is the oath, and what you think is something different. But Afal Gav, the Sphere Lan, even though we hold Dvarim Shebelev Einon Dvarim, the things that you think in your mind is not binding. Legabi Oinsin Shani, here it's different.
Meaning you can't do business this way. If you're doing a deal with someone and you're thinking things in your mind, that's not relevant. But here it's different. Why is it different? Why do we give this guy a heter to be thinking things in his mind, which is like a bit twisted, a bit crooked? Give you another case. Number 25, this is closer to home. Hasocha et ha'umnim. You hire some kind of expert, some kind of trade, a craftsman. And he misleads you. So what's going on here? You hire a decorator, let's say, to paint the house. Your mother-in-law's coming for Pesach. And you say to the guy, listen, it's 3 weeks before Pesach, it has to be finished, and it has to be finished this week. My mother-in-law's coming, I need to have the house clean. So the guy says, no problem, I'll get it done this week, absolutely no problem. The next day he doesn't come, the next day he doesn't come, the next day he doesn't come. You call him up and say, what's going on? He says, well, I've got a bigger job down on the other side of town, I'll do yours in a couple of weeks. Does never answer you. It happens all the time. So he says, well, 1 second, a couple of weeks is too late. I need you to do it this week. So what is your remedy? What is your remedy? So, kol davar she'avad, if you lost out, v'chazru behem, they went back on the deal. They didn't do the decorator when they said they would. So what are your options? So your first option is to hire somebody else, obviously. You'll say, well, forget you. You've broken your contract. You can forget about it. I'm hiring emergency decorators. Mokum she'ein sham adam. But if there is nobody else that you can hire, says the commissioner, socher aleihem, you can hire against them. Meaning, let's say I have to hire emergency lastminutedecorators.com and they charge me 5 times the normal price because it's a rush job. So fine, I can hire them and I can sue the other guy because he let me down, and therefore he's responsible. Okay, there's a whole court case coming out of it. Or matan. Or you can mislead them. Matan. What's that mislead? Says the Gemara, ketan matan. How do you mislead the guy? The decorator that let you down. I'm Elohim, you say to them, I offered you 1 seller, I offered you 1,000. Bor Zushtein, I'll increase it to 2,000 if you can just come this week. And then they say to you, oh, well, for double the price, I'll drop the other guy, and I'll come to you. And they come to you, and they finish the job, and how much do you owe them? 1,000 or 2,000? 1,000. Ah, but you said you'd pay me 2,000? Yeah, and you said you'd finish it this week. Sue me. And if he sues you, you'll win. You're allowed to say that. Ah, but how can you speak in that way? How can you promise and not keep your promises? What's happened to MS? Last case, number 27. This, I think, will resonate with most people here, and you'll agree with it. The daughter-in-law, was an in-law, a relative of Rav Papa, ended up in front of a yavam, meaning her husband Nebuch had died. There was a brother-in-law she now had to marry, and she didn't want to marry him. You don't always want to marry a brother-in-law, but he wanted to marry her. And he said, I'm not giving you a chalitza. This is the equivalent of an aguna case. He said he's not giving her a get equivalent because he wants to marry her. And she says, it wasn't suitable for her. She didn't want to marry him. Ata lekame d'abaya. So Rav Papa, who's on behalf of his relative, comes to Abaya and says, can you help out here? So Amalei said, they said to the guy the following. Chalutzla, why didn't you give her a chalitza? Al manat shetitzen lecha matayim zuz. And if you give her a chalitza, she'll pay you matayim zuz. She'll pay you $20,000, whatever. Is that an incentive enough for you to give the woman a chalitza and let her get on with her life? Labata the chalitza. So after the guy gave her a chalitza, Amale, he said to her, Zil havle, give me my money. I only gave you a chalitza on condition I was getting $20,000. So they go to Abaya, and Amale, he said to him, Meshatani b'chavdele, I was just joking. You were just joking? You promised me $20,000 if I give her a chalitza. I want my money. He says, yeah, and you're a Rosha. You should have given her a chalitza. You don't like it? You should have given her a chalitza in the first place. Miloy Tanya, haven't we learned in a brisa, Harishahaya Boreich Mibesa Asurin? You're running away from a prison. This is someone who was improperly imprisoned, and you've managed to escape. The Haita Ma'abra Lefanav, and there was the river crossing in front of you. And how much does it cost on the river crossing? $1, $2. But Amalei, and you're going to have to say to him, Tul Dina, I'll give you $1,000, Bav Reini, and you take me across. Deilo Elashkara, but he only gets the actual sum that he's owed. Because he's taking you for a ride, as it were, literally and figuratively. What's going on in all of these cases? You have the case of the decorators, in the case of the chalitza, you have the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra lying to the man who's going to Eretz Yisrael, the people who are making a neder in their heads. And the answer is, you're allowed to cheat the cheater. You're allowed to cheat people who are cheating you. But only if you know that you're right. And that's the problem. Because everybody thinks that they're right. In all the cases that we've seen, there was a very clear right and wrong. There was a non-Jew pretending to be Jewish. There aren't two sides to that argument, to that point. There was a woman who was begging for a get for a chalitza, and there was an incalcitrant brother-in-law who was being difficult. There's not like you can argue it both ways. There was someone being told, give me the produce or we'll kill you. You know, there aren't two sides to that argument. The decorators let you down, they had a contract, it was completely their fault, there's no question about it. And the Radak brings this up on Yaakov Avinu. Yesh Tumeim, there are those who are surprised, says the Radak. Number 28. Eich Yaakov Shehayat Tzadik, V'yara Elokim, double shekin. How could he say a lie, an outright lie? Then that's me, I says, I don't understand the problem, says the Radak. Ki yodea haya, Yaakov knew full well, ki hu roi lebracha, that he was meant to get the bracha, yoter me'achem. Now, how did he know? His mother told him, and how did she know? She asked God, she got a nevuah. The hechliv advarim b'mekoymet ka'ele, to switch the way you speak in these situations, ain't a genai letzadik. That's not a genai to Yaakov. That Yaakov was not a friar? That's not a genai, that's a shvach. Was he meant to tell the truth and let Esav get the bracha? How can he do that? We know that he's meant to get the bracha. He knew that full well. Avram and Yitzchak, who said about their wives that they were their sisters, are they to blame for that? Is there any sense that they're lying? God forbid, says the Radak, that's not lying. You can't call them Dovrei Sheker for that. V'chem Yaakov, so too Yaakov, the Kabbal Brichas Aviv, to receive the bracha from his father, im shina devaro, if he spoke in that way, loy hayo ba'avazeh dover sheker. That's not sheker. Now, this is a dangerous tool. Where do you use it? How do you justify to yourself, etc., etc.? One of my friends wrote a piece for I won't name which Jewish newspaper, but a well-known Jewish newspaper, Orthodox Jewish newspaper in England. And they asked him to write a piece on Yaakov and Yitzchak, and the different shitas in how he was able to say what he said. Anyway, he sent me a copy of the piece, I read it, and I wrote back to him, I emailed him back, I know this person very well, I said, it was a very nice piece, you covered all the shitas, but I can't believe you didn't include the Radak. It's a classic, you know, he's allowed to lie because he's being cheated. How could you not include that? And then it occurred to me, and I wrote back to him, I said, did you actually put it in, but they edited it out? And he said, that's exactly what happened. He included it, but they didn't want to print it, because they don't want people to read it, because even though it's printed in the Mikras Gedolos, it's not hard. If you can read the Radak, you can read it for yourself, but they didn't want to print it. I kind of understand that a little bit. Although it's censorship on the other hand, like, how far do you go with that? It's difficult. You have to know that you're right. And everybody often thinks that they're right, and they don't know that they're right. And therefore, you can't do it unless really it's an obvious case. But in principle, this is something of an answer towards Yaakov, but the idea is very clear. You do not have to be honest with the cheater. That's quite clear. So why does Rashi say what he says? Anochi, comma, Esav b'chorecha. So look at the Orcha Sadikim in number 29. Ubechal elu, in all of these cases, shehitiru chachamim, where the rabbis allowed you l'shanois to lie, im yochel lasa shelo l'shaker hu tov yoter. If you can do it in a way which is less of a lie, it's better mimati shaker than doing it as a full out lie. Kegoin, for example, im shoalim lo, they say to you, dea asa masechta plonit, they say to a talmid chacham, are you an expert in this masechta? And we know he's allowed to lie. For humility, he's allowed to say no. Says the Orcha Sadikim, Yoshev, he should answer him, V'chi ata soveh she'ani yodeh, what you think, I'm an expert in this masechta. This is why Jewish people never give you a straight answer. Yeah? Oh, I hear you're an expert. Oh, you think I'm an expert? What did he say? Did he say yes? Did he say no? That's the whole point. He says, Ve'im yochel asalik ha'shoil, ve'in yeshalo yishakeh hu tov yoseh. Like the Chofetz Chaim says. So I believe that there's even one of the later Meforshim, I think it's the Akedah Yitzchak, I'm not 100% sure, that says that's Pshan Rashi. Yaakov has a heter to say outright, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. Esav's trying to cheat him. His father, unfortunately, has been taken in by this whole ruse of Esav. But if he can say it in a way which is less gas, in a way which is less of an outright sheker, that he should do. The pause doesn't make it okay. The pause is wrong. You can't mislead people by clever, loyally, weaselly words. But the pause, at least to himself, makes it a little bit less of a sheker, even though he knows he's allowed to say a sheker. And by the way, turn on to the last page in your own time. I've brought you a long piece of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who says exactly this in his piece at the bottom. I'm not going to read through now. Look at it in your own time, particularly the left-hand column, where he goes through this whole shita very clearly, and he says that when it comes to MS, there are often occasions in this life where MS is a very difficult value to define. And it's relative. We don't want it to be relative, but it is relative. Have a look in these last two sources, 30 and 31. 32, by the way, is an interesting source. It says, when you're dealing with children, you really aren't allowed to play games like this because the children won't understand the subtleties and they'll just grow up learning to lie. There's the case that the Gemara brings of Rav, whose wife was particularly difficult. And every time he asked for peas, she gave him beans. And every time he asked for beans, she gave him peas. And there was just a dysfunctional arrangement. So the kid, as the kid was growing up, he learned to try and bring shalom to the parents. And they said to their kid, ask your mother to make peas. So he asked the mother to make beans. So she made peas. So he said, oh, today I've got beans. And this went on forever. And the Rav turns out to his son and says, oh, I can't understand. Your mother's really, she's turned a whole new leaf. He says, no, Dad, it's like I just kind of lie about everything to make it work out between you. And he says to him, you can't do that. You can't do that. Meaning, my marital problems, we'll deal with in another way, but you can't grow up lying, thinking even for shalom, because children are very impressionable. And in Source 32, he talks about that as well. But let's finish with 30 and 31, because these are beautiful midrashim, and in the last couple of minutes, let's just look at them. Look at number 30. I'm a robber. Miresh havamina, I used to think, leka kushta ba'alma, there was no truth in the world. And this rabbi came along and said, Rav Tuvid Shmei, his name was Rabbi Good. This is a midrash. It's put together as a, if you like, a construct. You'll see how it works. The Amrilei Rav Amrila, Rav Tuvid Shmei, some people say he was called Rav Tuvyumi. The E have a yav le kol chalali de alma. Even if you gave him all the money in the world, lai have a mashani b'diburai. He would never tell a lie. This is where the George Washington story comes in, okay? Even if you would give him all the money, he could never, ever tell a lie. So what happened to Rabbi Good? So the following. Zimnin chada, ikli lahahu asra. He found a town, Kushtishmei. The town was called Truth. Kusht is truth. Truthville. Okay? Truth town. The lie happened mashani b'diburai. No one ever lied there. Which is perfect. He doesn't like lying. He's living in Truth town. Perfect. He's a happy man. And no one ever died there until they wanted to die. He married a woman from there, beautiful, from this town. And he had two lovely little boys. One day in Truth Town, his wife was sitting in the bath, washing her hair. Chaifa, chafifa is also preparation for the mikveh. Okay. Asked the shivs the server, Tarfa Adasha, and the neighbor came and knocked on the door. Is your wife home? What's she doing right now? So, of course, he's Rabbi Good, living in Truth Town. So, what did he have to say? My wife is in the bath, washing her hair, preparing for the mikveh. But Saba, he thought to himself, Lava Orach, it's not Derech Eretz. Can't talk like that. Amala, he says to the neighbor, Leita Hacha, she's not here right now. Oh, that's the wrong thing to say in Truth Town. Says the Gemara, Shchivu le'tartin ben, and his two sons died. Now again, don't get upset. This is a midrash. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to, I mean, when I say it's a midrash, means you have to take it on a deeper level. It's not meant to be a historical account. His two sons died. Asu anshida asu kamei. The people of the town came before him. The Amrelevi said to him, "My high, what's going on? This is the place, town where no one ever lies and no one ever dies. Why are people dying?" Amalehu, he said to them, "Here's the story. Hacha have a nice of the story. The wife, the neighbor, the bath, the whole thing." Amru, they said to him, the Matunaminach, we beg you, Pukmeatrin, please leave our town. The light Tagribahun Musna Bahamach Inch. Don't bring death on the people here. People don't die and they don't lie. You start lying, people start dying. We don't want your sword here. Get out of town. Now, end of Medrash.
What do you do with a medrash like that? So the Maharal says, is there indeed a place where no one ever lies and no one ever dies? Yes, of course there is. What do we call that? Olam Haba. Olam Ha'emet. No one ever lies. It's a world of pure and ultimate emet. And no one ever dies. It's a world of eternal life. Says the Maharal, what this Midrash is saying is, if you want to live in a place where no one ever lies, ever, 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 you better live in Olam Haba. Because in this world, it's not how it works. Sometimes you've got to lie for Shalom. Sometimes you've got to change things for to not be cheated. Sometimes you've got to lie for sneers. If someone's prying into your life, they have a right to pry. Someone asks you, did your wife go to the mikvah last night? Like, I have any kind of obligation to I don't have it. This world is a complicated, grey world. And in fact, the Midrash in 31, which I'm not going to have time to do now, I don't want to keep you late, is when it's a famous Midrash, when God's making the world, the Malachim are saying, these Malachim are saying, do create man. These ones are saying, don't create man. Emes says, don't create man. Because he's Sheker. And God takes Emes and throws Emes out of Shamayim. And says, I want Emes me'arid titzmach. Emes now grows up from the ground. Meaning, Emes now in this world is a human quality. It can't be as absolute as we'd like it. There is such a thing as Emes. And there is such a thing as Sheker. And we have to be careful with it. But at the end of the day, you have to be a Chochem. You have to be a Chochem. And if you're not a Chochem, you will end up making wrong decisions and not taking this mitzvah with the subtlety and sophistication that it's meant to be taken. So there we are. In summary, Emes is not what you say, it's the impression you give. And Sheker is giving a false impression. A person is allowed to bring shalom to other people and lie in doing that as long as they're not gaining themselves. And under certain circumstances, if a person is being cheated, there are ways that a person can avoid being cheated as long as you know that you're right and you're not taking advantage. More to it than that, but that's all we have time for today. Bezat Hashem, we'll go further next week with another topic. Have a lovely week.